Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was about 30 years ago now, the day after Christmas, my last year at the seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, when heading out to the dumpster by our apartment complex with a bag of trash, I found my way blocked by a Christmas tree lying on the ground right in front of the dumpster. And it wasn't just the tree. It was a fully decorated tree, replete with tinsel and bulbs and other ornaments, lying there on the ground in front of the dumpster on the day after Christmas. Now, that image has stuck in my mind all these years. It has stuck there, that image of the fully decorated Christmas tree lying in front of that dumpster on the day after Christmas, because it has proven to be a good representation of how the world views Christmas. A holiday to which there is much build-up, months of build-up, but when it's over, it's over. There's no afterglow, no lingering, no continuance of the holiday on December 26th, for on December 26th, Christmas is over. It's over. Of course, the text from Scripture for the Sunday after Christmas can seem to be as equally jarring. There are no angels, no shepherds, no sheep, no glory of the Lord, no choir, nothing, absolutely nothing that seems miraculous. It's all gone. Day after Christmas. 40 days after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph journeyed to the temple in Jerusalem to complete Mary's ritual purification after giving birth to a child, and also to perform the redemption of the firstborn son in obedience to the law. And we can read about that in Leviticus 12 and Exodus 13. So after the glory and the wonder and marvel of Christmas, there was nothing, we could say, nothing but rules and regulations and duties and obligations. And that seems right, right? I mean, have we already begun to make our plans about taking everything down and putting everything away? Have we thought about what we're going to do with all of the leftovers and foods and Christmas foods we're simply not going to eat? What about the presents that need to go back or to be exchanged or to be put on a shelf to be re-gifted next year? Yes, yes, yes. That's the normal clean up and pick up and straighten up after Christmas. Or in other words, our post-Christmas rules and regulations, duties and obligations. Admittedly, while somewhat tedious and deflating, they are the norm. What happens all around us right after Christmas. But what happens inside of us, inside our hearts and souls and minds, as the celebration of Christmas all around us comes to a screeching halt? Here we've been comforted by weeks of Christmas music, of hymns and carols, and consoled and encouraged by Advent services and Advent hymnody. We then rejoiced on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, singing so many of our favorite hymns, only to find on the Sunday after Christmas that all of that hope and expectation, joy and love is gone. At least a measurable part. For even in this church, nothing really looks the same the Sunday after Christmas. But what once looked so beautiful, the decorations, the tree, the Advent wreath, now, well, they don't look as beautiful, do they? And I don't know why that happens. Well, perhaps I do. We look at everything having to do with Christmas now in a different way, don't we? Not because those Christmas things, they've changed, the lights and the trees and the wreaths, but because we've changed. We've changed on the inside. Our expectations, our hopes and thoughts of awe and wonder are gone. Now it's just post-Christmas rules and regulations, duties and obligations, but you know it doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. Indeed, when our hearts and minds and souls are linked to the Son of God by His Spirit, it isn't. I mean, usually when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of the day of Pentecost, we think of our baptisms, we think of faith, the faith within us created by the Spirit. What we overlook, however, is that the Spirit that works within us is none other than the Spirit of the Son. The Son who became man in Jesus Christ, the Son of God who became the Son of man, and so now is the Son of God, not just as God, but He's the Son of God as man. So by sending His Spirit to us, He also makes us, He makes us into sons of God and daughters of God. So our text, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Wow. You know, I heard something crass a few days ago, an assertion about Christmas that I've never, ever, ever heard before. An assertion that refocuses Christmas away from the baby Jesus, but even more surprisingly, it takes the thoughts of mankind away from the ideas of Santa and Rudolph and Christmas trees and decorations. Now, what was that saying, that statement that I heard? That crass statement. Remember, we are Christmas. That's what I heard. We are Christmas. And as Christmas is all about us, Christmas is us. Well, that was new, I thought. And if true, why call the holiday Christmas? Instead, we should call it Usmas. Or would it be Weemus? Merry Weemus. I better not say that too many times. It might catch on. But seriously, it's not that we aren't part of Christmas. Christmas is certainly about us, about what God, our loving Heavenly Father, has done for us. Unto you, the angel said to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christmas is all about what God has done for us in such an amazing and miraculous way in His Son, Jesus. And our text from Galatians for this Sunday, however, would go further and lead us to the insight that the birth of the Son of God as the Son of Man in Bethlehem signals our own rebirth. Yes, the Son of God became the Son of Man in Jesus, but each and every one of us through Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, although born sons and daughters of men, become sons and daughters of God. I will repeat that. The Son of God became the Son of Man in Jesus, but each and every one of us through Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, although born sons and daughters of men, become sons and daughters of God. And having been made sons and daughters of God by the Spirit of the Son of God dwelling in our hearts, we now are entitled to the inheritance of the Son of God, and that is righteousness and holiness and an eternal life of blessedness and joyfulness. Wow. Here, perhaps, we could compare our situation spiritually to that of little orphan Annie. Yes, little orphan Annie. Perhaps you caught the live broadcast of that famous Broadway musical a few weeks ago on television. Well, Annie is a fictional character and has been around for about 100 years, first appearing as a comic strip in 1924, and then a radio show in the 1930s, some movie adaptations, then a hit Broadway musical in the late 70s, another movie in 1982, and then yet another movie in 2014. The plot of Annie, of course, is that of an orphan girl who wishes to be reunited with her parents, who she doesn't know have died, and in the meantime, must work with other orphans for her foster mother. It is a hard-knock life. Of course, spoiler alert, Annie is eventually adopted by the millionaire Daddy Warbucks and is freed from her life of misery and suffering and sadness and misplaced hope. Well, this is what happens to us when the Spirit of the Son of Jesus enters our hearts, convincing us that our sins are forgiven, that our Father in heaven loves us and would comfort and encourage us to live as His children. No, our riches as adopted children of God are not found in external things like mansions and poodles and Duesenbergs. Our riches instead are internal, spiritual things, spiritual riches, like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. All things the people of the world think will come to them when they get the mansion and the poodle and the Duesenberg. But they don't. But they can't. And we ourselves have learned this the hard way, haven't we? And learned it at Christmas. I mean, we all remember Christmases when we received as a gift exactly what we wanted and were so thrilled by it and enjoyed it and cherished it. But how about the Christmases when we got exactly what we wanted and were overjoyed by having received exactly what we wanted, only to find out that what we wanted was not what we thought it was going to be at all? And that can happen almost instantly, right? That realization. A sweater that looks so great, but as soon as we put it on, we notice it smells kind of funny, and we begin to itch. An appliance, which we just had to have, but then we discover it doesn't fit on the counter, and it doesn't fit anywhere in the kitchen, for that matter. A puppy that ends up chewing all the other Christmas presents to pieces and destroying the new rug installed right before Christmas. That's why the spirit of Christmas is not in mansions and poodles and Duesenbergs. The spirit of Christmas is the spirit of the Son of God, born the Son of Man for us, so that we, so that you, so that me could become sons and daughters of God, adopted even to live even now in eternal peace and love and joy. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.